right. Hello. Welcome to episode 24 of Daily-ish. Today is Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. It's 11 degrees outside. I still can't believe I haven't gotten to say, I don't think I've gotten to say 20 some degrees. Anything with a 20 yet, other than the minus, is depressing. So, but luckily I have somebody here today with me to help with, still haven't come up with a better name, Tech Talk Tuesday. I just have to quickly interject here before I reveal the big name guest that we have on Daily-ish today and thank my sponsors for this episode. Campaign Monitor is a longtime sponsor of Good Stuff and of Daily-ish. Sending email does not need to be a chore. Campaign Monitor makes it fun and easy and beautiful. You can try your hand with their template builder and have a responsive email template in 60 seconds or less. And now with their newly redesigned and released iOS app, you can monitor your account right from your phone. I've tried this out. It works great with our Good Stuff newsletter that we send out. You get little notifications and see stats on all your emails going out. So visit campaignmonitor.com and get started today. And also Symbolicons. The guy who makes the stunning show art that we use here at Good Stuff, his name is Jory Raphael, and he's made an amazing family of simple, precise, and awesome vector icons called Symbolicons. There are 9 different icon sets. They've been created with a consistent weight and style to visually match one another. You can buy the whole bundle and get over 2,400 icons all at once. So visit symbolicons.com and use the code GOODSTUFF01 and get 20% off your order. Thanks to Jory and the Symbolicons for sponsoring Daily-ish. Now, on to the guest. Carrie Halstead of Good Stuff Advisory Board fame.
Hello.
Among other things.
Yes, I'm famous. That's what I'm famous for.
That's why you get all the followers on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
You've had your life, cereal?
Yes, frozen raspberries.
Right.
Skim milk.
All right. Well, let's not waste time on witty banter.
Yeah. So
I have a couple of items of the sort of linked list variety. Kyle gave me a good word of like it's linked list blog posts with a little bit of commentary is what I'm trying to do here. And that summed it up pretty good. So things I find interesting. And co-hosts, co-guests, whatever you're called. Last week it was Blaine. Today is Carrie. Maybe we'll alternate. We'll see. Anyways, World Cup is on. I know you're a soccer nut as far as playing it, but are you a watcher of soccer?
Yeah. In fact, I never really watched soccer till I started playing it, and it makes a whole lot more sense now. It's a lot more interesting when you play. Because, I mean, a lot of people complain that it's boring.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the number one complaint about soccer. And it is completely not boring when you, I mean, they play at a whole other level, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like, but yeah, it's very fun to watch. I love watching World Cup.
Yeah. And that's, I think for me, it wasn't that I played soccer, but I played, this sounds really lame and lame, played video game soccer, FIFA on the Xbox and whatever.
But that's probably closer to what they're playing than what I do.
And actually a buddy of mine who I used to work with who played soccer and kind of, I remember, I think it was the World Cup in 2000 maybe, right every 4 years, so that lineup.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. 2000 or 2004 when I was at the university there and then also having like such a good foreign, but like students from all over the world there and gathering together to watch games. And so like in the sort of lower Place Real, the sort of common area, gather around this big TV and just hearing people cheering and getting into it and appreciating what's like good and not, you know.
Yep.
And I've loved it ever since. Watch, especially World Cup. I'll watch other soccer, but I don't really. It's too hard to follow everything that goes
right.
on and different time zones. And stuff.
Well, and not a lot of our cable carries it. I don't know. I mean, what you subscribe to, but unless you pay $17 a month for the Sportsnet World Channel, you're not getting a lot of soccer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, exactly, that's the reason why it's hard to sort of justify. I'm not into it enough yet. I don't need another addiction.
Right.
But anyway, so the reason for this all is there's the, I know you've since become an iPad family since last we talked online, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or not an iPad family, but you have an iPad in your family.
Yeah.
And there's a list from Tua, the unofficial Apple weblog, of the best World Cup apps for iOS. I put this link in here thinking I was going to try some. I actually haven't tried any because what's nice is these days all the web apps and stuff are so great for like CBC. What I watch online yesterday, you can rewind and watch highlights and share video clips right from their web app. And right. So how are you watching these days? Just traditional TV?
TV.
Yeah.
Yep. When I can. Yeah.
Well, this, with the World Cup being in Brazil, it's actually really great timing.
Time zone, I know. I've noticed that too.
And, well, as we speak, we're missing Belgium against Algeria, but yeah. I'm excited this afternoon, Brazil versus Mexico.
So that's huge. That'll be fun to watch.
So, anyways, you can tune into Good Stuff Sports Podcast for more on the World Cup, which we don't actually have. But last item on today's bill docket. Is that the right word? Bill Murray crashed in a couple's engagement photo, which I feel like, I don't know if you saw this. It's just, I thought there's more photos. There's just one photo that he's in. But I love the idea of Bill Murray's use of his celebrity. It's exactly how I would hope somebody would use their celebrity to just be goofy with it and randomly show up at things. He has a history of doing this.
Yeah, he's a bit random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not like, obviously, at his age and stage of life he's not exactly like looking for tabloid photos or front covers of Time magazine
or it's very subtle and well executed if this is publicity,
yeah, which it doesn't strike me as some sort of publicist agenda for him.
Right.
But and the idea that he just kind of shows up in wedding photos, and like there's a video that went around a little like a year or two ago of him walking with some guys through an airport, and they wanted to do like the slow-mo movie walk thing with him, and so he walked with them.
So he did.
And it's just like, I would guess Bill Murray, if he hadn't become movie star guy, probably would still do this. You know, he'd be like the old guy who wanders into a photo and happily sits with you, and it'd be kind of this quirky thing that you'd hear about, but I mean, it wouldn't make Gawker.com, etc.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just like people who sort of use their celebrity in fun ways instead of for whatever.
For neutral, not evil.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's actually all I had for, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world, tech world especially, but what I wanted to talk to you about this week is something that happened locally here, but maybe of interest to folks who aren't necessarily from Saskatoon, is a big sort of web digital media conference. I think it's the third or fourth year.
I think fourth.
Yeah. So MosoConf is what it's called. MosoFest. MosoConf.
MosoConf is the conference. Yeah.
And then there's a conf. Yeah. So you went. How was it?
Yeah. So I went. I went to all the sessions on Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, there were some camps, a design camp and code camp. I didn't go, but I heard, at least I heard design camp was very good. It was led by a couple of women from Etsy, and they did some design exercises and things, and I heard it was very good. MOSO stands for mobile social. So there was a focus on mobile and social technology concerns, but from many, many perspectives, development, design, marketing, PR, whatever, like viral video kind of idea things. So it's a pretty broad spectrum of topics that get talked about. And there were some really good talks. And obviously the great thing about conferences is there is also good talks happening between talks. You know, the conversations you have with people that you meet or people that you've known before. And either talking about your own things or ripping off of the talks that you've seen and sharing what was good or bad about the talks that you've seen. So it was a very fun couple of days. And I saw somebody on Twitter referring to it as the Sundance of internet conferences. So that's high praise, obviously. And it'd be exciting if Saskatoon and MOSO became sort of known as a niche and high quality event in the technical conference world. I think that would be great. Had good weather, which is something.
Got lucky there.
Yeah. And Saskatoon is beautiful when it's good. So it was good for visitors. I had the privilege of meeting, Brandon Rossage. He's from Austin, and, he did a talk, and then we happened to be at, the same dinner. Like somebody had a backyard barbecue, And so we got to sit and talk about a lot of things. And he's a very nice guy and has lots of good ideas. And so that was fun.
Right. And he's with that. I always mispronounce.
Yeah, Ushahidi. I heard it enough times this weekend to learn how to pronounce it. Yeah, the sort of open platform for, they use it in catastrophe events for mapping things and communication. So,
yeah. Sort of, yeah. Anyway,
the extent of my knowledge of Ushahidi.
Well, at least you could pronounce it.
Well, I know.
What's the, which talks, was it a one track conference?
No, it was a multi track. It was hard to decide. So I saw Brandon's, which was about atomic design, which is basically breaking your design, your visual design for a website into little bits, basically atoms, and then composing the site out of those atoms, rather than approaching it from a page-by-page approach.
Right, that's Brad Frost's thing.
Yes,
yeah.
And then I saw a panel discussion. Nope. What did I see next? Yeah, I saw a panel discussion that had Brandon on it again. I just started stalking him, really, is what happened.
Creepy.
but it had the two women from Etsy, Kim and I've forgotten, Melissa? Jessica.
Yeah,
and a woman from Regina named Eden talking about responsive design and how it changed their jobs. I saw a talk on social identity, talking about the spectrum of your identities from real world to, you know, sort of your public online identity through to your private online identity, and how many levels there can be and how they interact, and how you have completely no control over these days, how they get you have no control over your online identities today, and talking about the implications of that and maybe the future of that. Gentleman named Sebastian Tavo did that talk. It was quite interesting. Then I got very drunk and saw lots of bands Thursday night.
You may have seen lots of bands, I
think I saw lots of bands.
Because there's also a music conference, like I said, Moso Fest going on at the same time, which is, also both local and then lots of, imported band? I don't know what the word is, but
Yeah,
which is cool.
Very, very cool bands playing, so that was fun. I saw Eden Rotensky's talk about user experience through the human experience. So she works for a web app in Regina, and she has lots of experience. The most interesting part of her talk that I found was she's got lots of experience working with seniors and elderly people, and they're using technology. And so she had some really good insights into designing for very diverse groups or very untypical groups when you think of designing for the internet. So she has had some good insights there. I saw a talk about Whitaker Trebella. He made a game called Polymer. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's a little shape-making game on iOS. And he talked about going from being a beginner programming, like learning Python from scratch, to releasing an iOS game. And he did it in about a year and a half. And it was a pretty interesting talk. I missed the very beginning, so I missed some of the context of it. But it was really interesting because I think a lot of people think about who aren't like professional programmers think to themselves, well, I wonder if I could do that. And so it was really interesting to hear his experience.
Because he came at it literally like not being a programmer, like having some programming background, but not like programming for iOS, let's say.
I missed the first 10 minutes.
Fair enough.
But by the time I got there, he was talking about he learned Python. So I don't think he was, you know, a C++ programmer before or anything like that. Like he was going, I think he was in the tech industry related, but not a professional programmer by any stretch. So right. He learned, you know, yeah. So I identify with that because that's kind of where I am. I know a little Python and have sort of resigned myself to, okay, I'll never be an app developer. And I might never be. But it was interesting to learn about what that might look like should you decide to go that route.
So it fills you with a bit of hope?
No. Oh. It looked very stressful and not fulfilling at all.
Oh, okay. So it kind of cured you of your hope.
I don't know. And then I saw a talk by Ken Seto, who's an entrepreneur from a game developer guy from Toronto. It was okay. Yeah. And closing comments. And there were keynote speakers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
There's connections to the game industry more so these days. I'm guessing anyways, looking at some of the links and mm-hmm. we're home to a design studio called Noodle Cake.
Noodle Cake. Yeah.
And so they make Super Stickman Golf, amongst other things. And so I would guess there's probably sort of like they have a bit of pull or influence or connections.
Contacts
with people to bring in some of these kind of speakers, creatives, folks in their industry, which is just fun to, I would guess it would have been a little harder before that to bring some of these folks in maybe. And I think
Saskatoon is sort of gaining a really good network as far as pulling people in. The keynote in the first morning was a guy who happened to be in talking, I think, to the local business college at the university. And so he did, you know, while he was here, he did the keynote for MOSA. So, you know, I think having connections and making connections is something that our community is becoming good at. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what, for somebody who has never, whether they're from far away or from Saskatoon or whatever, why would someone next year look at going to MOSA, attending? Because it's whatever, it's a couple, what, $150 for a ticket or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's
not
least
cheap.
That or it's $175. Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, what would you say to your elevator pitch for MOSO if you were?
Well, it's like having a vacation in that it's totally different from your usual work, but you're learning so much and making those connections for yourself, those personal connections that, you're exhausted and reinvigorated at the same time, all the time. It's a good growing experience. It's like, I don't know. It's totally worth, like at $200, it's totally worth that as far as what you gain from it. But just meeting new people and having those conversations and listening to people who want to share their ideas. It's a mind broadening experience that you just can't get day to day reading articles on the net from Twitter and doing your work.
Right.
It's just a giant leap above that. So for 2 days or 3 days, you know.
Yeah. That's where I think I know my own sort of hesitation sometimes is, well, I can just read, you know, it's, right.
You can see the slides after.
Yeah. See the slides or read their talk or hear their podcast or whatever, and there is something about, I think, seeing them in human space, mm-hmm. and then also the conversations after
definitely add some value to it as well. I think all of this is true of any conference, really,
right,
that you really engage in and be part of. So yeah,
because how would this compare with something that I don't know if you attend conferences in your corporate world, a day job?
I have in the past. I used to, not in a while, but yeah.
And is this would be something that's a little more, I would guess, like sort of relaxed, exciting-ish?
Maybe a little less job, specifically job related to my career, but still, I think, relevant. Mm-hmm. But maybe more relevant to my like hobbies.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I would guess that there'll be, I would assume, probably most of 2015.
I would think so.
At some point in next year.
And they keep making it better, and it's a good thing. And it's if you want to travel and see Saskatoon at its best, and you know, a little bit South by Southwest interactive-ish,
yeah,
on a smaller scale, this is it. This is good.
Yeah, where it's like you said, a backyard party barbecue afterwards instead of a 60,000 people barbecue.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So,
very cool.
I also saw, I want to mention, The Internet's Own Boy, the movie about
Aaron Schwartz.
So, such a good movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were actually showing, they showed the whole movie, or it was just...
They showed the whole movie and then had a Skype conversation with the director after.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
It was amazing. I mean, the movie is, I want to scream. It's so enraging what happened. Mm-hmm. So definitely go see it. I think you can see it on the internet. It was interesting to talk to Brian Knappenberger, the director after as well. So,
yeah, I think, I can't tell if this website is old or new because it's talking about available June 27th. So I don't know if that was last year, I feel like, or is it brand new this year?
Maybe it's brand new this year. I guess it might be.
Okay. Which would make sense that he'd be sort of doing the publicity circuit or whatever with it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah. I remember hearing about Aaron's suicide and then sort of, you know, like a tech person and not really realizing all the sort of ways he's, like I said, his fingerprints are all over the internet and just sort of different connections to things like, well, such like Markdown, the tool that we write with was something that he sort of helped or
RSS feeds and
co-founding of Reddit and stuff. Yeah, just all sorts of...
Right. And he did all of this before, like, I had my first kiss. He was young. He was a genius. And
Like, not literally before
so
you,
many things.
He was
But
that,
before I was...
Yeah,
gotcha. He did that in his life before age of my life. Like, yeah, no, that was a long time ago. That was before he was born. But, yeah, he did a lot in
the time he had.
His very short life. So
cool. So worth seeing the trailer or the movie, obviously, is what you would say as well. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it'll be available for rent. Yeah. It's not out yet. June 27th.
Okay.
iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Xbox, Vimeo on demand, all over the place. So
yeah.
Cool. Something to check out as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for coming on this episode of Dailyish, Carrie.
Thanks
Where can
for having me.
The folks who want to find more about Carrie go?
Oh, mostly Twitter. I'm at KAYAYARAI on Twitter.
All right. And I'm iChris on Twitter. And good stuff you can find at goodstuff.fm, which is where this podcast is hosted. This episode directly, if you want to find links to the things we talked about through this episode, I linked to the Twitter accounts and the websites and the apps and things that we were talking about. goodstuff.fm/dailyish/24 will take you right to this episode. And you can follow Good Stuff on Twitter at goodstuff_FM. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.